The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The gospel reminds us that we are in a year of faith. A year ago, Pope Benedict the 16th asked, for this year, which will end in several weeks, be dedicated to faith. Faith is that aspect that we trust that God is true, that God will not deceive us, that God will not lie. Pope Benedict asked that this year of faith be centered on two events. One that happened 20 years ago with the new catechism of the Catholic Church, and one that happened 50 years ago, the beginning of the Council of Vatican II. During the Council of Vatican II, they produced 16 documents, the first couple of which were done 50 years ago next month. The first of one is on the liturgy, how we worship at Mass. And so they ask for an updating of how we worship, allowing for different alternatives and how the Mass is to be structured. But it doesn't take away the central aspect that the Mass is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, extended to us in time. Be allowed for the vernacular for us, the English, to be used instead of the norm, which is Latin. Be allowed for the expansion of the lectionary, that is the readings we have at Mass. Prior to Vatican II, the lectionary was on a one-year cycle, just 52 weeks. Every 52 weeks, the same reading on that Sunday. Now we have a three-year cycle, A, B, and C, the years, that allow for expansion of the gospel, the expansion of the scriptures that we can hear at Mass. And that's one of the great benefits that came out of Vatican II. Catholic Christians are hearing more of God's Word. One downside of that is they put more God's Word in here, but they sometimes leave out certain things out of the readings, and we don't know exactly what the readings are referring to. That was the case with me when I was looking at the readings for this homily. I had no idea what the first reading was about. I just looked at it. And then I looked at the Gospel. I didn't know what that was about. You see, the first and third readings, the first reading from the Old Testament and the Gospel reading in the new lectionary, are trying to be matched up with each other. They're supposed to have a common theme. But when I started studying for this homily, I looked at the first reading from the book of Habakkuk. It's an Old Testament prophet. He lived at a time, 600 years before Jesus, at a time right when the Babylonians were sweeping down from the north. Eventually, the Babylonians would take over Jerusalem and capture them all and send them off into exile. So it's right at that time, right before the Babylonians came in to the Holy Land, and the prophet Habakkuk was saying to the Lord, "Lord, there's violence, there's discord, we're not united. Where are you, Lord? How come you're not putting an end to this?" Well, the prophet then hears back from the Lord. And I don't have time to go into all the things the Lord said through the prophet. But he basically says this, if I can paraphrase, "Look, prophet Habakkuk, I've given you my commandments, and the people do not follow them. If you're not following the commandments, why do you expect me to bless you? If you're not going to keep my word, what can I do? I'm going to let you over to your selfishness, to your violence, to your murdering, thieving. And don't expect me to bless you." Well, one of the things that the Jews did not do was keep the Sabbath in its fullness. Now, we're all familiar with the Sabbath day, Sunday for Christians. For the Jews, it was every seventh day. was the Sabbath day. It was on that day you were obligated to do no work at all. None. It was a day of rest for you. But there was another type of Sabbath that the Jews were obligated to do. Just as they do every 7 days the Sabbath day, every 7 years there would be the Sabbath year. No work during that year. No plowing the fields, no harvesting. Just as people were to rest on the Sabbath day, the land was supposed to rest during the Sabbath year. But the Jews did not follow this. For 430 years, there was no Sabbath year. And so finally, 600 years before Jesus, the prophet Habakkuk is saying, Why is all this discord here, Lord? Where are you? And so the Lord tells him, hey, I'm going to use these pagans, these Babylonians, to fulfill my mission, my word. If you Jews will not give me the Sabbath year, I'm going to do it myself. And so the Lord allowed the Jews to be taken off into exile, not for 1 year or two, but for 70 years, they were in exile away from the land. And God told the prophets, I'm doing this to fulfill all those years you did not give rest to the land. So the Lord expects us to do His commandments, not just say, Lord, just do it for us. And that's what the gospel reading was about a little bit. Jesus had just told them to forgive their brother as many as 7 times in 1 day. 7 times. Not just once or twice. 7 times in 1 day you are to forgive your brother if he asks for forgiveness. And so when Jesus tells them that, the apostles say, Lord, increase our faith. Which sounds like a wonderful request, isn't it? Lord, increase our faith. But then the Lord tells them 2 things about the mustard seed. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to a mulberry tree, be uprooted, and it would be uprooted. And then he says a story about the master and the servant. And this is kind of odd. But Jesus has a purpose here. He says, no master expects a servant to be waited on. The servant is there to serve. Just because he's done in the field doesn't mean he's done in the house. There's other work to be done. And I think what Jesus is getting at here is telling the apostles there's no easy grace. Lord, increase my faith. Well, that's wonderful to say, but if we're not doing what the Lord is asking of us, He's not going to bless us. He didn't bless the Jews in the Old Testament who failed to keep His commandments. Neither will He bless us. Maybe to use a metaphor or analogy might hit home to smokers. If you tell the Lord, Lord, give me good health, and you continue smoking, what's the Lord to do? Unless you stop smoking, He's not going to give you good health. Well, the same thing happens in the spiritual life. If we don't do what the Lord is asking of us, we shouldn't expect to be blessed by the Lord. And what does the Lord ask of us? Keep His commandments. Now, which ones? Do we get to pick and choose which commandments? No! We have to keep them all. The 10 commandments. Worshipping God alone. Not using His name in vain. Keep holy the Sabbath day. Going to Mass on Sunday. Not just whenever you feel like it or I have work to do. No! You give God first that 1 hour of the week. The land will take care of itself. honoring our mother and our father. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal or lie or covet. God expects us in an ordinary way to just keep these. We are unprofitable servants. We're just doing what we are obliged to do. And then the great two commandments of treating our neighbor as ourself in charity and love. And the great commandment of offering the Mass. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus commands us. And so Sunday after Sunday we do that. Again, we're just servants serving the Lord. Now there will come a time where the Lord will take care of us, huh? He tells us plainly in the kingdom of God in heaven, He'll take care of us. But now, our task is to do what God is asking of us. Basically, it comes down to holiness. Be holy. Give God first what belongs to God. Give Him your time, your talent, your treasure that He's asking of us. Put religion first in your lives, realizing that when you do that, people will oppress you. This is what St. Paul was telling St. Timothy in the second reading. Man of God, I put my hands over you to anoint you, and realize that people will hate you because of your teaching. And so we should too also be mindful of that. And when we stand up for morality, when we stand up against a culture of death, from those who want to, from the very beginning of life with contraception to euthanasia at the end of life, we say that that is immoral, people will hate us. But yet we're saying the truth. And when we do that, we are showing the Lord we're keeping His commandments of giving good witness, that there is no easy grace. Lord, increase my faith, but I don't want to have to change. Lord, increase my faith, but let me do what I want on Sunday. Lord, increase my faith, but it's okay if I steal or lie. God will take care of it. No. God will hold us accountable for everything. Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. What? Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord? No, because He says, only the ones who do the will of my heavenly Father. We have to put our faith into practice. And that means standing up for religion, knowing our religion, saying yes to God first and always in all that we do. Then the increase of faith will come, because we have utilized the graces of Jesus Christ and not count on them as just being easy grace. It is hard to be a Catholic Christian, to be a Christian in the world today, and it's going to get harder still. And so St. Paul is trying to tell us through the second reading, man up, woman up, realizing that you're called to something glorious here. You're called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So as we continue with this Mass, let us pray for ourselves that our faith will increase to the extent that we allow God first and foremost in our lives. But let us pray for the many who do not, for the many who blow off worship Sunday, the other commandments, for the many who do not put God first in their lives, for the many who count on an easy grace from the Lord.